Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today.
Open up your Bibles this morning to, we'll start in Hebrews chapter 4 real quickly. We'll read this passage of scripture real quick. How many of you were here last weekend for Mother's Day at High Praise? Amen. And how many of you were blessed by Pastor Chelsea? She brought the word last week. I mean, can y'all give Pastor Chelsea a big praise God too? Amen. What a powerful word last week as we continue in the series, Access, Learning to Approach God and Receive Power. We've been walking through the Lord's Prayer, and I know Hebrews 4 is not where you find that, but I want to read the scripture real quickly, and then we're going to jump to the Lord's Prayer and read through that, and then I've got about 17 more passages of scripture to read this morning, so we can actually say this message is biblical, and it's not just Pastor Micah's brain, but it is a biblical message. So Hebrews chapter 4, if you're there, 14 through 16, it says this: "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points was tempted as we are." And I think this is important to look at today as where we're going in the scripture. "But was in all points tempted as we are." Here's the kicker: "yet without sin," right? We believe that Jesus never sinned. How many of you understand that Jesus never sinned? He's the spotless Lamb of God. He never sinned. But scripture right here says he was all points tempted, meaning this, that I can't get into all this right now. Jesus is fully God, fully man, but I believe that there are some things in his flesh, understand the way I'm saying this, that the Spirit of God always empowered him to do what is right, but that doesn't mean that there wasn't some things that pushed on some areas of his life. Hear me today, the Spirit of God is alive and active in you, but the truth is this, there are things that push on different areas of your life, and the truth is this, we give in to those things. Jesus had the Spirit of God living within him and never gave into those things. Now it says, "Let us come now boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to find help in the time of need." So for the last 2 weeks, we've been going through this, the posture of prayer, what it looks like. What does the Lord's Prayer mean for us? We can, a lot of, if you, anybody ever play sports in the room? Anybody ever play football, basketball, baseball? Anybody ever huddle up and do the Lord's Prayer? How many of you actually know what it means? Right. We just say things. Yeah. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." What are you saying right now? You don't even know what you're declaring. And Jesus, what's happening, you don't even know where this passage is. And this passage is found in a moment in time when Jesus is teaching people, this is how you ought to pray. What Jesus is not saying is go through the repetition of saying this every time you pray. Jesus is teaching a heart posture. Hear me today, throughout scripture, through all of scripture, whenever you are reading scripture, you need to understand that Jesus is not addressing, and scripture doesn't address, the outward appearance. Scripture is always directed towards the heart and what's going on inside. We see this with David. Whenever David's going to be anointed as king, what happens is they show up and they go, "You know, I'm gonna anoint this one." And it's David. And God, and scripture says this, that God doesn't look on the outward appearance, he looks upon the heart. Can I tell you today, some of us, and I got a whole message I'm ready to preach on this, some of us are so concerned about saying the right things that we don't believe the right things. But we can say a lot of good stuff, but it doesn't matter what you can say. Do you actually believe what you are saying, or is it just words coming in your mouth? Hear me today. Yes, words have power, but there's a whole nother power whenever you begin to put the Spirit with the words and the actions that you're doing, and then God begins to accelerate the pace of what's happening. So Jesus here is teaching us the posture of prayer, okay? You're like, "Pastor, why are you yelling?" Because I'm excited. And I didn't get to preach last week, okay? Y'all locked me up. Now I'm out. That's what happens. Don't do that to me. I'm just playing. So throughout the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come," right? Let's go through it real quickly. "Our Father," which is the relationship. We're acknowledging the relationship that we have with the Lord. And you can turn to Matthew chapter 6. We will start in verse 8. Here in just a second. Actually, we'll start in verse 9, please. Matthew 6, verse 9 is where we'll start in just a second. Well, let's go ahead and read it. It says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven." That was where we started. Our Father is recognizing the relationship that we have with him. Hallowed be your name. That means that his name is holy. There's a reverence for his name. Your kingdom come is a surrender moment that we have. That's the posture we should have. Then week four was give us this day. That's a daily dependence. That's believing the Lord for everything, all our needs, according to his riches and glory. Pastor Chelsea then preached last week a powerful message in week five of our installment of this. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's a release. We are releasing old things. We are releasing bitterness. We are releasing hurt. Hear me today. You cannot go, we talked about this last week and I can't preach the whole message, but you cannot go to the Lord in prayer with bitterness towards your brother. You cannot go to the Lord in prayer expecting him to move if you in your heart have bitterness with your brother. I'm going to get in your business for a second. You cannot go to the Lord in prayer and expect him to change your wife if you got bitterness with her. You know what you need to be praying? Lord, change me. Lord, fix what I, help me be the husband I'm called to be. And we could flip the roles too, because I know there's a lot of wives in here that you probably pray prayers. Lord, I just fix what's broken in him. And some of you just start praying, Lord, fix what needs to be fixed in me so that I can love my husband the way that you would love him. Help, give me eyes to see him the way that you see him. Even though, yeah, he messes up. Yeah, he's got these, I'm not taking away those issues. I'm not taking away those things. But what I am saying is you got to start looking at the people around you as the way the Lord loves them in the way the Lord sees them. And hear me, the Lord is someone who forgives and gives it freely. He already paid the price and he gives it freely. Now let's go into this week's part of the scripture as we're continuing the posture of prayer and how to receive power, because next week is Pentecost Sunday. And so next week we're going to talk about the upper room experience. It's also move up Sunday, but we're going to also talk about the upper room experience, and we're going to talk about receiving the power of the Holy Spirit, evidence of speaking in other tongues. We believe that here at High Praise. And next week, I'll give you a teaching on why it is still for today for anyone that may be struggling in that area, or maybe you've never heard it, or maybe you're confused about it. Come back next week. I promise you, it's a teaching that will help you understand that it really is still for today, and it's good for you to practice when you receive that gift. Amen? But we're in this last part of this scripture right here. It says this, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus here is teaching us that we should be praying, Lord, don't lead us into temptation. But the funny thing is, when we read that, we're like, so the Lord leads us into temptation? No, that's not what I'm saying. Jesus is not teaching us, he's not teaching us to be fearful. He's teaching us to be humble. Because hear me, this prayer, what Jesus is teaching here, the prayer at, if you boil it down, what he's really saying, he says, Lord, I need your leadership because I'm not as strong as I think I am. This is a prayer of humility. Lord, I need you to lead me because I think I can do all this on myself, but I know that I can't. So I'm going to go through some things. Here's the truth, and we'll get to it in a little bit. Here's the truth. You will be tempted in this life. Okay? And if you are never tempted, you're in denial. If you think you're never tempted, that means you are living in denial. It's not just a river in Egypt. Okay? You are living in denial constantly. If you think you are never tempted, you never have problems, you never have issues, or you just have minor things, you're probably in denial. The truth is this, the enemy is the tempter. And he's always been the tempter. Go back and look at Jesus when we talked about walking with Jesus. How does it talk about the devil whenever he's in the wilderness with Jesus tempting him? It says, and the tempter came to him. Can I tell you that the tempter shows up at your doorstep? And the tempter does not show up of, hey, I'm temptation. And not the band, not Temptations. We're not singing My Girl. I want you to go make someone else your girl. There's temptation that shows up on your doorstep that doesn't show up in a pitchfork in a red outfit saying, hey, why don't you go do this? You're going to destroy your whole marriage, your life, your kids, and everything that you have. Why don't you just go do this now? No! It shows up as justified actions. justified anger, justified entitlement, justified pride, justified knowing better. I'm ahead of myself, but this is good. So hear me. We're talking today about a humility saying, Lord, I need you in the midst of whatever I go through. This is a mature prayer to pray. This is a mature heart posture. This is an honest heart posture. But before we go any further, let me be theologically clear with this. In James 1, 13 to 14 says this, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Hear me. God does not tempt you to test you. All right, some of you are struggling with that. God does not, if we say that God is the tempter, we are putting him in the same shoes as the enemy. Which means we've totally missed the beginning of this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy, which means he can't be the tempter. If the enemy's the tempter, well, then God surely can't be the tempter. And some of us are going, I'm just going through this. I'm tempted by this because the Lord is just tempting me in this to test. No, he's not. He is not tempting you with sexual addiction. He's not tempting you with lust towards someone else's spouse. He's not tempting you in any of those ways. That is not God. That is the enemy. Right? So I'm not tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away. Somebody say drawn away.
Drawn away.
Where are you going? Where are you going? Drawn away. Well, that would mean that you were close to God. You got to understand the way James is writing this. He's inferring that you're already close to God, which means, because just even the verbiage. Don't say that God is tempting you, because it would mean that if I'm close to my wife, she's the one who would have proximity to me, which means she is the one who can speak into my life, who can push on some things and things of that nature. And what James is saying is you're close to God right now. He's not tempting you. But this is what happens. This is why temptation shows up, is whenever you are drawn away by your own desires or your flesh or the voice of the enemy, and you go and you're enticed by those things or drawn to those things over the voice of the good shepherd. So Jesus is not teaching us that God leads us towards sin or temptation. Listen, anybody ever seen those old State Farm commercials where the old man's got the dollar bill and he throws it, you almost got it, you almost got it. You know what I'm talking about? God's not doing that with temptation over your. The Father's not baiting you into some sort of temptation. The Father isn't setting traps for you. The Father's not testing you by dangling evil in front of you. He leads, and the enemy launches a counterattack in temptation. And even the enemy does not have control over you. You have control over you. So there's the other side of this. You can't just say the devil made me do it. You don't get that. No. The devil cannot grab your hands and go put them in places they should never be. The devil cannot drive your car to the bar to go get drunk out of your mind and go back into addiction. That's not the devil. You decided to get your butt in the car, crank it up, and drive. That doesn't mean that the enemy did not use temptation to bait you. But this is why we can't be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. We have to know them and shut the door on them and not even give him a foothold in that area of our life. So hear me. The flesh then responds after the enemy launches counterattack or brings temptation. And that temptation presents opportunity, and then we step into it. So this prayer becomes, Lord, lead me in such a way that I stay close enough to you to recognize temptation when it comes and then be able to go through the way of escape you've made for me. This is the heart posture. So, what's interesting is this text begins on 13, and do not lead us into temptation. What's interesting, I find, are the words, lead us. Do not lead us. I believe this is important because lead implies I'm not in charge. right? If I'm saying someone else can lead me, that means that I'm not in charge of the leading. So I believe this, Jesus is teaching us something here that says, hey, you got to trust me enough to understand you can't get in front of the leader. You got to be humble and follow me. And I promise I'm not going to lead you into any areas that you don't need to be in. So leading implies I'm not in charge. I'm not setting the direction. I'm following someone else. So write this down. You cannot ask God to lead you while insisting on your own route. You cannot ask God to lead you while continuing to insist on your own route. That is not surrender. You're not surrendered to his way. That is not discipleship. You know what discipleship means? It means to be disciplined, to be discipled by someone else, to be disciplined in this area. So if you're saying, Lord, lead me, but I really want to go this way, you're not actually willing and wanting to be discipled or disciplined. You're wanting what you want, and you're wanting to do this. You're wanting to be a spiritual backseat driver. Anybody ever had backseat drivers in their car? Okay. Anybody got passenger seat drivers? Any men be honest enough to say you got a passenger princess driver? Okay. Now, anybody be honest enough to say you get annoyed when someone tries to tell you where to go, how to park, where to park, this road to take, that road, don't take that, take this, yeah. Stop nagging me. Okay, now you're laughing and I love it. This is what you do to God all the time. You are a nagging, annoying voice when the Lord is trying to lead you where you're supposed to go. And you're saying, but Lord, no, go that way, Lord. No, that sounds difficult, Lord. I want to go this way. No, Lord, stop. Park in that parking spot, not that parking spot. I want this part. This is what we do in the Spirit so often. We annoy the Lord. And thank you, Lord, you're patient. Way more patient than I. Because the truth is, we don't always want to go the direction the Lord wants us to go. We want what we want, and we will insist on our route until we get what we want. Right? It's not surrender. That's not discipleship. Spiritual backseat driving, passenger seat driving. John 10:27, famous passage of scripture says this, my sheep, this is Jesus speaking, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Jesus does not say, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they negotiate what they want to do next. My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they filibuster until I give in. No, it says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hear me, distance from the Savior and the Shepherd will always make temptation sound louder. Getting further away from the voice of the Good Shepherd will always make the voice of temptation sound louder in your life. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and hear this, sheep are not safe because they are smart. And he said, Pastor, you just called us stupid right here in church. No, I didn't. But I am saying you don't know what's best for you always. And if you think you do, we got a pride problem. As soon as you think you know better for you than the Lord knows for you, which by the way, the scripture about this says that his ways are greater, higher, better than our ways. So hear me, anytime you think you know better than the Lord, why don't you go find that scripture and read it again? Because you don't. Sheep are not safe. For context, when we're reading this contextually, the sheep in this, what Jesus is, the picture that Jesus is drawing is, sheep are not safe because they're smart. Sheep are safe because they stay close to the shepherd. That's what Jesus is vocalizing even in all of this. Anybody ever pull their phone out and open maps? You got somewhere to go, and you open maps up, and you put in your destination, right? And so the destination starts speaking to you, and we type in that destination, and then we start driving. How many of us ignore every time it tells us to turn? Every time. Okay? How many of us ignore every instruction it gives. And then if you are one of those people who ignore the instruction, how many of you get mad at the GPS when it reroutes you? I was driving the other day, and I was driving somewhere near, I was going to Pensacola for something, and I'm driving over there, and there's road closures. And I don't know about these road closures, but I know the normal way once I get over there to go where I was going. And so I say, bump that. You're telling me to turn there? I know a better route. Not knowing that there's road closures. So I go the other way. And it keeps telling me, turn around. And I'm getting angry. I'm like, come on, just shut up. I know where I'm going, dude. Be quiet. And I just keep going. And then guess what I run into? Road closures. Now, what am I saying? There are times that you think you know better, and it's the quickest route. But sometimes there's some things that the Lord or some things have happened in life that you didn't expect, and those areas now are closed in your life, and you don't need to go back to those areas. And if you try to push on the areas, the Lord has been saying, hey, and he's bringing people into your life saying, hey, don't go there. And there's instruction and things of that nature that are coming forth in your life from the voice of the Good Shepherd. Hear me today. Be smart and actually listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd rather than wasting your time, resources, abilities, and exhausting all efforts to go away that's going to end either in destruction or a turnaround. But the truth is this, oftentimes the Lord is speaking and we're saying, yeah, I know better, God. Yeah. Lord's like, turn around. No. So then the Lord's like, turn around. He's like, no, I'm not doing song either, Lord. No. Not turning around today. I got to keep going. Point is this, we do that with the Lord. The GPS does not control you and it's not trying to control you. You know what the GPS's job is? You know what its job is? To try to get you where you said you wanted to go. And some of us are like, Lord, I want to live in the blessing of the Lord. And the Lord's like, okay, give. Like, Lord, no, I didn't know. What? You see my bank account, Lord? Give. No. Give. No. And you're arguing with the Lord is not trying to control you. He's trying to get you to the place, to get you to the place of the desires of your heart that still line up with his desires and what he's called you to do and who he's called you to be. But the truth is this, we want to get where we want to get in the way that we want to get there and look the way that we want it to look. And the truth is this, oftentimes it does not look the way that you thought it was going to look. I can just imagine for a second, when David gets anointed king, there ain't no way he thought he was going to have to run for his life from being murdered by Saul. I can think for a moment when Mary says, you are blessed among women and you're going to carry the promised seed. She didn't think that she'd be giving birth to Jesus in a place that housed animals and poop. I can think just for a moment that when Abram is promised, hey, you're Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. He didn't think for a second, I'm going to have the promised seed at 80 something years old and be old enough to be a great grandpa. He probably still thought, this is about to happen and let's get to work, Sarah. But that's not what happened. It took time. What I'm saying is this, oftentimes there are places that we want to go or even promise to go, but sometimes there's a long road and there's evading some things and moving and taking steps. And if you'll be faithful and not ignore the voice of the Lord and not push off the voice of the Lord and just follow it, you will get to that promised place. But along the way, you will be tempted to take steps other ways. Abram did just that. Abram goes and has a baby. That is not the promised seed. Huh? David tries to do some things to speed up the process. Huh? I'm sure Mary could have been tempted. Say, there are death threats after our life. Lord, take this from me. Right? But if you'll continue and not give into and be pulled away or drawn away, as Scripture talks about in James, if you continue in what the Lord's calling you, you will get to that place the Lord has for you. So some of us keep telling God, I want peace. I want freedom. I want breakthrough. But we keep ignoring his directions. and then get frustrated when life keeps rerouting. Lord, I thought I'd be there by now. Well, you took 17 wrong turns and kept on driving. You're now in Timbuktu. You got a long drive back and your gas tank's a little low. Huh? You'll wear yourself out going to places you never should be in. Lead us not into temptations. The prayer of someone saying, Lord, reroute me when I'm drifting far away. Write this down. The voice of the good shepherd is only helpful to those that listen and heed the instruction. It is so good that you can hear the voice of the Lord. It's so good that we have scripture to read, right? And we can read like, trust in the Lord in all your ways, acknowledge him. Huh? And he will make your pasture. Man, I can hear the voice of the good shepherd in that text. It's great that you can hear that, but do you actually heed that instruction? It is one thing to hear the voice of the good shepherd. It's another thing to follow the voice of the good shepherd. Hear me, write this down too. It's hard for the wolf to get the sheep that stays close to the shepherd. Right? Shepherds had these shepherd's hooks. Y'all ever seen pictures of shepherds that had the shepherd's hook and they would walk with the shepherd and they lead the sheep, blah, blah, blah. Well, that hook wasn't just for, it wasn't a walking stick. That hook staff could be turned into a beating stick real quickly. Or my grandpa called it a whooping stick, right? And the shepherd was armed with something that he could not only, the hook could grab the neck of the sheep or the wolf or whatever was coming out, but also could knock them and get on, boy, you know? So hear me, what I'm saying is when we're staying close to the voice of the good shepherd, the Lord will fight for you. And he'll pull you in places if you'll stay close to him. But as soon as you start to wander, you're further away from the shepherd, and you now are fresh meat for the wolf. The enemy goes around what? Like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Write this down or take a picture, whatever you need to do. The sheep that gets devoured is usually not the one closest to the shepherd's feet, but the one that wandered just far enough to think it was still safe. Think about that for a second. Some of us think, well, I can still see the shepherd. What does that look like? Let me give it to you in your terms for a second, how we live. When we read this, the sheep that gets devoured is usually not the one closest to the shepherd's feet, but the one who wandered just far enough to think it was still safe. Meaning this, you, if you're the one that just wandered far enough to think it was safe, you're the one that is now not making your relationship with the Lord a priority. Everything else is. You might be the one, and there's no condemnation, but I'm giving some context here for you to apply this practically. Listen, I love scripture, but scripture without understanding how we can practically use it just becomes knowledge. And we want to turn knowledge into wisdom by way of the Lord, because all wisdom comes from the Lord. So I believe this is practical application wisdom for you as I'm bringing this to you today is not condemnation. But you, what that looks like is the one that wandered just far enough to think it's still safe is the one that, yeah, I still go to church. Huh? But I don't ever look at this during the week. I don't ever listen for the still small voice during the week. I don't ever actually pursue anything deeper or greater with the things of the Lord during the week. Hear me, I'm not saying today that if you don't ever do that, that man, you're dead tomorrow. Tough luck, bro. No, but I am saying this. I'm giving you this pastoral, as a shepherd of a house, I'm giving you a pastoral warning saying, listen, if you drift too far and you think that you're still safe, hear me today. That is not a good place to be in, because all it's going to take is one or two things and you're going to drift really far off. And now you don't even see you don't hear the voice of the shepherd, and you don't even see the shepherd who is Jesus. And I've seen, and you say, Pastor, how could you say that with such surety? You want to know why? I've been in ministry now for how long? We've been in ministry almost 16 years. I grew up in ministry. My dad's pastor. Grew up. Our main Panama City campus started whenever I was 4 years old. Grew up in church. Worked in church my whole life. And I've seen this pattern happen over and over and over and over and over. And I know there's other pastors in this room that have been in ministry for a long time that have seen this happen over and over, because you think you have some sort of, and really is pride, I won't go there right now, but you think there's some sort of religious superiority that you have because you show up to church and you lift your hands. And you maybe even take a couple notes. Hear me today. This is the place of equipping, not the place that always sustains you. You are your own priest at home. Sustain yourself at home. Get into the Word. Worship, pray, talk to the Lord. Continue in this prayer every day of your life. And I'm telling you, that keeps the voice of the good shepherd close to you, and you're close to the good shepherd, and you will see, hear me, I'm not saying temptation ever goes away, but I will say this and this. Temptation loses its hold on you when you stay close to the shepherd. Yeah. It loses the opportunity to pull you into the depths of sin ever again if you stay close to the good shepherd. And I don't mean on paper. I don't mean on the surface. I mean truthfully walking with Jesus every day of your life. The next thing I want to bring in this text, y'all get something out of this today? Good, we got 73 more minutes. Some temptations show up looking justified, right? We talked a little bit about this earlier. This is usually where we get temptation wrong. When most people hear temptation, right, we think lust, addiction, drunkenness, sexual sin, murder, stealing, obvious rebellions. When we hear temptation, like, that's what we're going to be tempted with. And for some of us, we may deal with some of those things. But can I tell you that there are other temptations that sound like this? They deserve what they got. I have every right to say, stay mad. I'm not bitter, I just remember. If I don't control this, nobody will. Oh, the Lord will understand my hatred. All right? Y'all got quiet on me now. We were talking about murder, sexual addiction, substance addiction, these things. And then I talk about things that you've said in the past week, and you're like, shut up, Pastor. Shut up. You're done. Get up there, Pastor Donna. Play keys. Tell them wrap up like it's an award show. This is what we really face in temptation more than anything, probably. The truth is this. It is likely many of us face some form of temptation daily. Right? Anybody ever got angry? Anybody got angry this week? And then you wanted to sin by doing something, by getting even, saying rude, harsh words against that person or those people or that organization or whatever it was. Yeah. Okay. You face temptation, friend. And I pray you didn't give in to it. But here's the truth. All of us will face these kind of temptations every day. You may want to write this down. This isn't going to be on the screen, but this is good. Sometimes temptations show up on the other side of your hurt. Hurt can happen, and you can still refuse temptation. This is a test of who's strong in the Lord and really staying close to the good shepherd. Listen, you can be hurt, and temptation can arise to get back at that person, and you can say, No, I'm not. That's not who the Lord. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Justice belongs to the Lord. My job is to love. Now, as Pastor Chelsea talked about so beautifully last week, that doesn't mean we don't have boundaries. That doesn't mean that we don't put things in place. I'm not saying that. If you need some leverage, go back and listen to that sermon, because I don't have time to give full leverage of that today, but it's a powerful sermon. That doesn't mean that we don't enact boundaries whenever people do hurt us and these things. But what we will often dip into in temptation is that we want to get even or get back at them or do worse to that person. Hear me. Sometimes, once again, temptations show up looking justified. The enemy does not care what takes your obedience as long as something takes your obedience. The enemy does not care how your obedience is taken as long as your obedience is taken away from you. You know, my son, My boys yesterday we celebrated my grandpa's 84th birthday, and we went to their house in Panama City, and they have a pond beside their house. And so my kids wanted to go fishing, and Levi yesterday, he went fishing, my 12-year-old, man, he caught so many fish, it was ridiculous. And so he's catching them, and they're putting worms on a hook, and they're fishing with worms. But I was thinking, you know, it's interesting that fish, as that's thrown in, what do they see? They see the wiggly worm, and that looks good. It looks appetizing. But they're missing something in the whole picture. What are they missing? They're missing the hook. They don't see the hook because they're only blinded by what is appeasing to the hunger that is within them. Ooh, I'm about to preach something. This is not in the notes. This is why we're supposed to be close to the Good Shepherd. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hear me today. Temptation will look for what you're hungering after and dangle that right in front of you and pull you away. And if you're not filled with, if you're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness and being in right standing with the Lord and hungering and thirsting for the things of the Lord, hear me, the enemy will find the small areas of your life where you're starving. Put the wiggly worm in the water for you, and you'll miss the hook. And then you're pulled out of the water, gasping for air. Anybody ever felt like this after being tempted and giving it? Let's just be honest in the church. Stop putting on church face and actually be honest, okay, people? Anybody, after temptation showed up and you gave into temptation, you felt like you were struggling for air, hurting. Lord, why did I do this? I feel terrible about it. Yeah, absolutely. That's the conviction of the Holy Ghost, friend. So, the worm never says, hey, there's a hook on the other side. If you take the worm, it never says, hey, this will wreck your marriage. It never says, hey, this will poison all the peace that you have. It'll never say, hey, this will make you really bitter. This will isolate you from everyone you love and have ever cared about. It never says, this will harden your heart. It just says, bite. Yeah. That's all temptation says. Yeah. So write this down. Temptation never advertises the hook. Just because something looks good, y'all have heard it said in church a thousand times, just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. Temptation can look like good things. It can look like, well, yeah, we can just not do what we're called to do as Christians this week because it would feel better to do something else. Hear me, temptation never advertises the hook. Temptation, though, is not the sin, right? We talk about this often in this church. Temptation is not the sin. And I believe a lot of believers carry around shame simply because they were tempted. And I'm going to balance this. Because I don't believe you have to live life being harassed by temptation either. Right. I believe you can get to a place being so close to the Lord that temptation is like, yeah, okay, cool. No. I know what the Lord says about this. I know what Scripture says about this. I know I'm hungry, but no, I'm gonna hunger and thirst after righteousness in this area of my life. So hear me. Temptation itself is not failure. Agreement is. Temptation itself is not failure. Agreement is. So entertaining temptation is dangerous. Nurturing temptation is dangerous. Feeding temptation is dangerous. But temptation itself is not sin. But if you entertain it, it will become sin. If you nurture it, it will become sin. If you feed it, it will become sin. Temptation is not proof that you're failing. It's proof that you are human. We talked about this earlier. Jesus was tempted. The difference is he never agreed with it. Anybody ever been mad before and then wrote a long text? Yeah. Anybody in the room, or maybe you don't text, you wrote a long email. You emailed McDonald's because they messed up your order again. Right? So you do this, and you write that text while you're angry. You type the whole thing out. You deleted it, right? Copy all the way up, erase, and then you retype it. More angry. Because the anger stirred within you. And the next thing you do is like, I just still have enough bite in it. So you copy all of it, you pull it into ChatGPT, you say, make this sound more angry with words that make them feel stupid and they don't even understand. It makes me sound really educated, right? Am I the only one that does this? I think it's only me, okay. I don't do that. I'm playing, guys. I've never done that. Actually, most of the time I'm like, can you please make me sound a lot nicer than I feel right now? And then we almost hit send. And then we feel like, no, that wasn't right. Temptation is the draft. Sin is hitting send. Meaning that temptation works in the way of imagination, right? The reason that you think about doing something you know you're not supposed to do is because there was an imaginative thought that came into place. Maybe you saw something. Maybe it reminded you of something. Listen, the mind is a mysterious and beautiful thing the way the Lord made it. And the truth is this, y'all ever smelled something and then it took you to a certain place? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm going to be really gross and interesting in here. The smell of mildew takes me straight to Walt Disney World Splash Mountain. Every time. How do you do? Pleased to meet you. Fine, how are you? It just takes me there immediately. So, that's a side thing. Point is this. Temptation works in the way of imaginative thoughts. It is drafting things in your mind. It's pulling things up, thoughts, ways to do things. Hey, I want to go do this. Sin is actually giving into the imagination. This is why we cast down imaginations, thoughts, take them captive into the obedience of Christ. This is why Scripture tells us this, is because it realizes the way that our mind works, is that we imagine things that we want to go do, or imagine ways that people may think about us, and our job is now not to give into those things, but to take them captive, not come into agreement with those things, but take them captive, because here's the truth, God always makes a way of escape, amen? 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, but God is faithful. Praise God, he's faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So hear me today. If you are being tempted, let me give you this encouragement. You are not uniquely broken. You're not like special because you're tempted, okay? Maybe that isn't encouraging for you. Maybe you're like, man, I'm really battling something. That means the Lord gives his biggest battles to his most strongest warriors, okay? Like, you're not uniquely attacked. You're not the only one struggling in this room. But hear me, what you need to focus in on here is God is faithful. Temptation's going to yell loud, but sometimes escape just whispers. And you got to look for it. And the truth is, some of us aren't looking for escape because we're happy with giving in to temptation. It's easier. It's easier just to do the thing. I've explained temptation in this scripture like this. Anybody ever done an escape room before? Well, there's a way of escape, right? But it comes through what? Clues. And you got to look around and find some clues. And then through the clues, you get the way of escape. Sometimes the truth is this. You got to start looking for the Lord in the midst of your temptation. And saying, Lord, where are you right now? I know you're with me. Scripture promises that you're with me. I know you're here. So Lord, what is the way of escape? And it happens in different ways. But hear me, when we're emotionally triggered, anger, fear, anxiety, rejection, shame, those things, the emotional center of the brain gets very loud and the rational center gets quieter. This, in psychology, is called emotional hijacking. You've never heard of that. Let me explain it to you real quickly. Emotional hijacking is what happens when your emotions react faster than your wisdom. Psychologists use this term to describe moments when the emotional center of the brain, particularly the amygdala, thank you, perceives a threat, a stressor or rejection or trigger and essentially overrides the rational decision-making part of the brain. This is why in heated moments you say things that you didn't actually mean. It's because you're literally, there's an emotional hijacking that's taking a place. Some of you make impulsive decisions or lash out or shut down. Spiritually, this is why temptation can feel loud in a moment. It's because your feelings start screaming, react now. While the wisdom of the Spirit says you have self-control. And the Spirit's leading can sometimes feel quieter unless, and this is what you need to learn, unless you've learned and trained yourself to pause, slow to speak, quick to what? Listen means shut up, don't do a thing, and just listen for a second. And before you even go to take your next words, take 3 seconds before you take the next words. Pause, submit, and respond instead of react. That will help you in the way of temptation. That is a way of escape that the Lord has made for us. Scripture has been talking about this long before neuroscience has, about the emotional hijacking. This is why the flesh wants immediate reaction, because emotional impulses want a quick relief. This is why whenever you want to take revenge and you get revenge, it feels satisfying. This is why anger feels empowering to you. This is why control feels safer. This is why escape feels easier. It's because you're being emotionally hijacked and you would rather have the quick relief than actually doing what Scripture has called us to do. So write this down. The way of escape is often obedience you do not want to take. The way of escape is often obedience you do not want to take, or the way of obedience you do not want to take. So let me encourage you with this. Walk away. Don't send the text. Forgive. Shut your mouth. Leave the room. Call somebody for encouragement, not to talk bad about somebody. Pray. Worship. Temptation says you ain't got no choice. Scripture says God made a way. I promise you, I'm coming to a close. Last thing, deliver us from evil. We see this in this text. And then we're going to do next week a little bit of thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever as we get into the upper room. Deliver us from evil. Jesus says, deliver us from the evil one. Hear me. The enemy's real. Spiritual warfare is real. Oppression is real. Deliverance is biblical, but it needs to be balanced. Let me let you know that not every habit you have is a demonic influence. Not everything that's going on is a demon. Not every emotional struggle is an oppression or possession. And not every temptation is a direct demonic attack. Sometimes it's just your flesh. Sometimes it's trauma. Sometimes it's thought patterns. Sometimes it is spiritual oppression. But all of it, no matter what label we put on it, let me give you this. It requires submission and surrender to Christ. The word deliver means this, to rescue. Romans 12 and 2 gives us this. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a delivering right there. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Let me tell you this. I know in the Pentecostal charismatic church, we want to call every stronghold a demon. Can I tell you that some strongholds are just mental fortresses that you've allowed to be built? Some strongholds are emotional fortresses of things that have happened to you. It wasn't a demon that did it to you. Something may have happened, yes, and it doesn't mean that there's not a stronghold, there's not a hurt. But the truth is this, some strongholds are built through repeated patterns or grooves or rhythms rather than the demons coming and going, I'm going to build and put this little structure. No, you just kept on doing a stupid thing. You kept walking away from the voice of the Good Shepherd and giving into this over and over again. There's a stronghold now. And it wasn't even a demon. It was just your flesh and what you wanted to do. This is the way the Lord made our brains. This is why it's imperative to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So repeated emotional responses will become defaults for us. I know I joked trauma a minute ago, but here's the truth. Trauma strengthens hypervigilance. Hypervigilance, what it does, it creates strongholds. Offense strengthens defensive wiring. Addiction, the stronghold of addiction, it strengthens reward loops. So the reason you go back to that is because there's a reward loop happening in your mind. You may have never been influenced by the devil to go consume alcohol, but now because you kept doing it and 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 it's an addiction, it's because there's literally a reward loop. And once again, that doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't need to show up, because absolutely, whatever that is for you today, wherever that area of your life is, needs to be surrendered to Christ. It needs to be submitted fully to Him, and He is the one who will rescue you out of that, whether you built it or whether it was built fortress by the enemy. So hear me. What you repeatedly agree with becomes easier to repeat. So the more you rehearse offense, the more you rehearse fear, the more you rehearse lust and bitterness and control, guess what happens? The easier it becomes to return there. The brain literally builds pathways around where there is repeated agreement over and over again. So now it is default for the brain. So we got to rewire it and bring it to the Word and surrender to it. This is why we go back to old patterns and ways, is because our brain has rewired itself for reward loops and going and doing this again, or being fearful or being full of lust or whatever that is for you today. We have to surrender that to Christ. Pastor Don, we can play. Scripture paints these in similar lights and calls them strongholds, though. So some, yes, deliverance looks like demons leaving, but some deliverance just looks like a spirit-led renewal. A spirit-led renewal just means I'm renewing my mind to the Word and what He says about me. Some deliverance, let me give you a strong word for you that none of you will like. Some deliverance just looks like you actually exercising self-control. You don't need deliverance, you just need to exercise what the Lord's already put within you. Some deliverance looks like discipline and actually living a disciplined life. Some deliverance looks like you finally obeyed the voice of the Good Shepherd. Because hear me, not every chain is mystical. Not every chain is some spiritual thing. Some chains, some strongholds are mental, emotional, and behavioral patterns that need a spirit-led renewal. But hear me, deliverance is not always dramatic. Sometimes deliverance looks like consistency, being consistent in obedience, being consistent in reading the Word, being consistent in your prayer time, being consistent in not going back to that place that brings up those memories and those thoughts of temptation again. Sometimes deliverance looks like choosing differently long enough that old patterns lose their power. And hear me today, what I want you to hear inside of that is every bit of that is still God. It is still Him moving in your life. So what is this teaching us today? Whenever we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. This is teaching us to humble ourselves and be willing to say, Lord, wherever You're leading, I say yes. Because I know You deliver me from evil. And You don't lead me into temptation. So Lord, wherever You're leading me, I listen for You today. I listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. So I'm going to give you a challenge, okay? Before we go into next week, I'm going to give you this challenge. Some of you, this is going to hurt. Some of you are like, I don't ever use my phone, so it's fine. Go home today and check your screen time over the last week. Okay? For those that are brave in this room, go check your screen time from this week. Not because phones are evil, but I'm showing you something. It's not a stronghold of the devil that you've been giving into fears that you've been reading all about through your phone. You know what it is? You keep pulling up the reward loop of looking at that same article over and over again. It's not the enemy that's calling you or trying to get you to lust after things. It's the fact that you keep opening up that same thing over and over again and haunting other people's pages and scrolling and looking at things on those Instagrams and Facebook and those areas that you're like, no, you know you shouldn't be there. It's not all the enemy. Some of it is just we keep doing the same thing but expecting a different result. And it's because we are not submitted to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Truth is this. You need to ask yourself whenever you do this, if you take this challenge, when you go home today and check your screen time, what voices am I giving the most attention to? Because you drift toward the voices you listen to most. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow. So hear me today. If there's areas in your life that look like you're following some areas that line up with your screen time, let me just encourage you. Put some limits. Do what you got to do. Unfollow. Block. Whatever you got to do in that area that keeps tempting you to do those things. They're straying you from the voice of the Good Shepherd. Hear me today. It is better to follow the voice of the Good Shepherd and experience his goodness than experience the separation and destruction that the wolf tries to bring. Let's stay close to the Good Shepherd. Let's continue in this heart posture of prayer. Let's continue, Lord, I surrender and I follow you wherever you lead me. Will you stand to your feet today? Will you lift both hands to the Lord? Thank you for staying a little long today. Will you lift your hands? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your people. I pray a blessing over their life. Father, we acknowledge you in this room as our deliverer, as our salvation, as our healer. I thank you, Lord, for those that are in this room that are battling with temptation. For Lord, we know all of us at some point, we battle with some form of temptation, but Lord, we thank you. You're faithful. You always provide a way of escape. So God, we yield to you. We surrender to you. We open our ears. Lord, help us draw close to you and stay close. Lord, let us not be drawn or enticed by the flesh or by sin or even by demonic influence. But Lord, let us stay close to the voice of the Good Shepherd, where we find safety, where we find provision, where we find healing, where we find everything that we need is found in you today. So God, we give you praise for what you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. We give God a hand clap of praise today, church. Amen.